was pretty bright up there. Thank you. I don't know if you can still record it, but that's okay. We should pray for the message. And it can be a selfish prayer. Lord, don't let him bore me to tears. But we should pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you speak to us today. And you take the words that I speak and you work your magic and your miracle in terms of how that unfolds and speaks to each of our hearts. And I ask that you bless it through the time that we spend together in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in June, when we had church in the round, I did one service in which we kind of walked through the worship service, but it was really focused on the music and why music is so important in the context of what we do in worship. But we talked about a lot of different parts. Well, one of the parts of worship is the benediction that's at the end of the service. I don't know if you ever thought about that or not, but if you notice, there's always this little thing that we do at the end of the service called a benediction, and I say some good words over you, and that after the closing hymn. What is it for? Well, you might think it's some kind of little doodah or ditty that I put at the end of the service, but actually it's been there for centuries. You might wonder what kind of meaning it has and all that, but it can be loaded with power and meaning. Or it might be the absence of awareness that kind of tones it down in terms of that. Some people think that it's a liturgical exercise that you do in church in terms of that. It doesn't really have any reason or meaning or power. A lot of people don't understand benedictions and how it is used, but I want to talk a little bit about that and how we bless people today. The benediction has a history that goes all the way back into the Old Testament scripture, and it comes through hundreds or even thousands of years of history. In some cases, all meaning has been lost, and then like things that we need to rediscover in terms of, oh, that's what this is for. Some of this is concerning benedictions as well. Now, this may sound silly, but it is nevertheless true. Over the centuries, one of the debates over benedictions in church history, and may still be, as far as I know, in some areas of it, is how the priest or how the minister should pronounce the benediction. The debate is whether the priest should hold up three fingers, kind of like Boy Scouts, when he pronounces the benediction or not, or whether a priest should hold up his hand with his thumb, touching the middle finger. This is true now. I'm not making this stuff up. And it's a point of debate in parts of the church. The debate is how you hold your hands when you do a benediction. Do you do it like this? Do you do it like the Boy Scouts? Do you do it like this? Do you do it like this? Do you do it like this? There's a lot of debate over that. Now, I'll tell you what I think. I don't care how you bless me, just as long as you do. I don't care if the guy blesses you standing up here and with one hand pinching his nose like this, and he talks with an angel and he's standing on one foot. I don't care how he does it, just as long as he does it. What if he bends over like this? Oh, Lord, bless this group of people, you know, really. Now, that's a little definition of the doodah that comes at the end of the service. The benediction means the good word or blessing. That's what it really is. It's a blessing, and it's appropriate because we have been called to be a people of blessing by God. So when we are to be a people of blessing, it moves the idea of benedictions and blessings out of the strict formal or liturgical sense of worship into a matter of daily life. I do a lot of weddings. One of the things that I do at the end of a wedding, especially if I really know the people or something, and I did this week, is I pray a blessing over the couple. And if anybody paid attention to that, that's not rote. That is about their life. Benediction at the end of a worship service is an example of what we are to do all the time as God's people. All of God's people need to begin to enter into this idea of benedictions or blessings on people, and we need to become blessers of people more than we are now. The power of the believer to bless people is very real possibility and highly significant. If you think about, we are created in God's image, and as how does God create? He speaks things into being. Let there be light, and there was light. And we are created in that image, and we speak things into being. And part of that is to be a blessing on people. Now, there are a lot of blessings and benedictions in scriptures, and I would like for us to read a few of these. You probably have heard them in a church someplace at some time. Let's read Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now that is a blessing. You may have heard that one in church where a minister may have done it at the end of a church. I know that I have used it on occasion. Another blessing is the Romans 15:13. Let's read it together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I know I've used that one on occasion here. And then Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude, by the way, so it's just verses 24 and 25. Let's read it. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Anybody heard that one before? Yeah, that's one that is used on occasion. Now, all three of these are benedictions that are used in churches over the years. I have used all three of them. They speak words that have to do with encouragement, that foster faith, and stabilize and strengthen people in the ways of the Lord. They also promise God's peace and hope and support, the certainty of his blessing on them. All of them are conferred on people in the name of Jesus, by his power, through Christ Jesus. In other words, this is not just a humanistic or arbitrary kind of blessing. They are not humanistic blessings in themselves because they speak what Christ brings to us. It's not something like, hey, old fellow, well met, I want to give you some encouragement, so I'm going to say some nice things about you. These blessings are conferred in the name of God through Jesus Christ. These blessings are coming through the lips of people who are like me or maybe like you in terms of that, but they come from the throne of the Almighty God. He is the one who makes the blessings. These blessings are also not arbitrary because they involve things that do not have to do with whimsy, you might say. It's a matter of my coming and say, oh, my friend, what would you like to be blessed with? And then me saying something like, well, may God bless you with a solid gold Cadillac and a pain-free tomorrow, and may everything that you do come up roses. Amen? The blessings are based on issues that are revealed by Jesus in Scripture. They said that the Lord will be with us during all the issues of our lives. The big things, the small things. Even the blessings spoke of large concepts, but they did not mean that God was not concerned about the small things of our lives, because he is involved in those things. The blessings were given to stabilize people and to speak encouragement in whatever was going on in terms of the lives. And what these blessings say to us is, I am going to make it because the Lord is going to sustain me through the issues of my life. He's going to bring me peace and confidence through His Word. And all the temporary difficulties that we all have, these things of life that I face, I know that the Lord is going to let these blessings flow in and through me. The words are spoken to one another. They come in power. They need to be spoken because we are created in God's image, and the things that we say come into being. If you curse people, if you run people down, things come into being. If you bless people, if you speak well of people, if you give them encouragement, those things come into being as well. And as God's people, we're called to do this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it talks about who we are as God's people. Let's read them together. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In other words, we're called to be priests of our God. We are to be in the ministry of all believers. We are part of the body of Christ. That makes all of us who name Jesus as Savior, and we're in that process of making Him Lord of our lives. We are part of what they called in the Middle Ages the priesthood of all believers. We change it. It's the ministry of all believers. We are people who are to bless people. We're supposed to speak blessing. There's a significant passage in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27, where God is talking to Moses. Let's read it together. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron and his sons, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put My name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Now, how many of you heard that benediction in church? Well, one of the things I want you to understand about it says, the Lord said to Moses, He said, "Now, Aaron, tell Aaron and his sons that they're going to bless the people of Israel." And the Levites, Aaron's group, were the priests of Israel. But I want you to look at this. He said, at the last sentence, "So shall they put My name upon the people." In other words, God is saying, when they do bless them, and this is a particular benediction blessing, He says, "I put My power of My name into that blessing." Aaron and his sons were priests, and they were to speak blessings on people. We bring things into life, but God promises also to speak through us and bring things to life. So if you and I are part of the royal priesthood, bought by the blood of Jesus, the priesthood of all believers, or ministry of all believers, we are blessers. You are a blesser, and so am I. We are to speak blessings, and that's not all. Read with me 1 Peter 3, 8, and 9. "Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love of the brethren, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to do this, you have been called, that you may obtain a blessing." Now, if you read this, we are to be lovers towards one another with courtesy, tenderness. In other words, we're supposed to speak blessing on people. And then it says, do not return evil for evil. Or reviling for reviling. That means we're not to go out and get vengeance or to speak ill of people. Don't do that. Instead, listen to it. But on the contrary, bless. Let me say it again. But on the contrary, bless. For to this you have been called. And then it ends with a promise that you may obtain a blessing. Now I looked at that, and it says to be a person of blessing because we're called to do that as God's people, and there is a promise on the end of it that if we do it, then we get a blessing back on us. What it says, if I speak a blessing on a person or a group of people, that it comes back towards me, that which goes around comes around. Now, if it doesn't do anything else, it ought to motivate us to be blessers, the people that we ought to do it because it just comes back on us. You know, I can imagine somebody, you know, well, you know, I really wasn't all that sure. I wanted to bless so-and-so because, I just don't. But if this is true, then if I bless that person, not only am I fulfilling my call as one of God's people, but, hey, I get something back from it. Now, I suppose there could be a purer motive than that. But, hey, if that works, fine. Might be a purer motive. Since being a disciple of Jesus, I am called to love. But how do you do that love? Well, you show courtesy, tender-heartedness, kindness, patience, things like that. And if that doesn't motivate you, well, you don't have to be pure in heart. All you have to do is say, well, if I do it, I get a blessing back anyway. The power of blessing people. It brings things to life. And that power of calling things and people and situations to life is vividly portrayed throughout the Bible. There's a very graphic picture of the blessings. If you take it, go home and read the 49th chapter of Genesis. This is where Jacob is coming to the end of his life, and he has these 12 boys, which are the 12 tribes of Israel, and he speaks about those boys. And he blesses them in that chapter. And he says a lot of different things about these boys. Some of them, he says, well, I need to tell you the truth about so-and-so. And he speaks certain words over them, and he speaks truth. But then he blesses his children. Some of it has to do with corrective judgment, but he blesses his children. Do you know that you bless or curse people with what you say? If you have children, I'm going to talk about this more next week. If you have children, you bless or curse your children by what you say. And speaking blessings on people is exercising what we have in the image of God, which is we have the power to create by word. Over the centuries, there have been a lot of benedictions that have been used by some of the church fathers. One was by Clement. He was a second century leader in the church. He said this, "May God, who sees all things and who is the ruler of all spirits and the Lord of all flesh, who chose our Lord Jesus Christ and us through him to be a prized people, grant to every soul that calls upon his glorious and holy name faith, reverence, peace, patience, long-suffering, self-control, purity, sobriety, and well-pleasing of his name." In other words, he's saying anyone who is calling on the name of Jesus, give them these things. Those are more than just beautiful words. There's life present in them and creativity in them. Just as God creates by his word, we also create by our words. Each of us. The words we speak is laden with life or death. If it's laden with life, it brings about faith. It brings about peace. It brings about patience, long-suffering, self-control, concerns. Clement said, I am speaking this blessing upon you. That was in the second century A.D. People in the New Testament church of the past 2,000 years, for that matter, have been people who believed in the power of what they spoke because they understood the truth is we are created in the image of God, and we speak and we create things with what we say. And I believe this. You know, when I stand up here and I talk, I partner with God. One of the reasons for this, the Church of Jesus Christ persisting today is because people throughout history knew how to communicate not only truth, but the power of that truth through the blessings of God. Polycarp was another one who was in the early church fathers. He was martyred for his walk with Jesus. He said this, to him who is able to bring us all by his grace and goodness into his everlasting kingdom through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to him be honor and glory and power and majesty forever. Now that is an example of blessings spoken. There are lots of these in Scripture in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you've probably, if you can read them, you've heard them before. The benediction, what I say at the end of these services, may be a blessing in disguise that you don't know about. Now, I'm going to end this with a benediction after we sing our last song. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. Help us to be aware of the words we speak, and whether they are blessing or curse, and the blessings that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen.